join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Yes, You Can.
Exodus, the fourth chapter, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou spoke to your servant. I am slow of speech, I'm slow of tongue. And the Lord said, who has made man's mouth? Who has made make the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go. I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O Lord, sin, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt sin. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also he cometh. Also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him. Put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and I will and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Continuing with what we started last week, this inspirational, stir you up, get up off your rusty dusty, get up off your seat of do nothing and do something message entitled Yes, You Can. Look at somebody around you and say, yes, you can. This is the word of the Lord to you and to us, saying yes, you can, because God will tell us to do things and give us dreams and visions and speak to us. And it seems impossible, you knowing yourself, knowing your background, knowing your human limitations, that God could be telling you to do that, build that, go there, say that, start that, possess that, buy that. And so when we respond in our natural feelings and say, no, I can't, the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us, yes, you can. And we're taking our points from this backdrop of Moses when God appeared to him and speaks to him from the burning bush. I was listening. We would listen to somebody. Oh, yeah, I remember who it was, but I ain't going to say who it was. I'm not trying to spare his name. I just thought it was funny. He said Moses was out in the woods and this bush just blew up. I said, that ain't what the fuck. I don't say no bush blew up. I said, I just laugh. He said, the bush just blew up. That's what he said. He said, this bush exploded. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says it was burning, and Moses saw it burning. And apparently, a brush fire apparently was nothing unusual. He's probably going on about his business, just taking care of the sheep. And, well, you know, that'll go out. Or maybe somebody burning some trash or something. I found that out when I came down south. I didn't know nothing about that. But y'all burn trash in the yard down here. I wasn't used to that. I thought I need to call a fireman. And I'm like, and then I look out there, and my neighbor out there, he throwing more on that. So now I'm thinking he trying to get rid of a body. I'm like, where have I moved? What's going on here? Okay. Then I learned that's a thing down here, that you burn your trash. And so they put, maybe somebody burned. And so Moses, but it not just that it was burning, but even though it was burning, it wasn't consumed. The bush wasn't consumed. I mean, at some point, the bush ought to be burned up and there's nothing more to burn. And God used this to get his attention. Understand that God will get your attention. Amen. Ideally, and God does not want to have to get your attention by your car flipping over. And God does not want to have to get your attention by you getting cancer. Come on now. And God does not want to have to get your attention by somebody close to you dying. Even though God can use those things or get in those things, that's not the God's way to get your attention. Amen. Because, you know, when tragic things happen and somebody's still alive, they'll always say something. Well, God, I guess I need to find out what God wants me to do. I'm here for a reason. I'm here. You was here for a reason before the car flipped over. Amen. So you can press into God without tragedy. That's a word for somebody. Don't wait for tragedy to get your attention. Amen. God sits high, looks low. He wants to talk to you right now. The Spirit of the Lord is always speaking. We're not always tuned in. Amen. And so, you know, people say the car flipped over. Well, everything happened for a reason. Well, sometimes the reason that happened is just because you have bald tires. It was raining. You was going too fast. It ain't that deep. Slow down next time and make sure your tires don't be bald. Amen. And so God gets his attention and God tells Moses, I've seen the affliction of my people. We looked at Exodus 3, 7 through 11. I've seen the affliction of my people. I'm gonna come down to deliver them. I'm going to take them and give them the land that used to be the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, Muscovites, Termites. I'm going to give you their land. And he said, come down, Exodus 3 and 10, I'm going to send you. And Moses started making excuses. And the first excuse he made was that one of low self-esteem. Feeling insignificant. How can you use somebody like me to do something like that? And God and Moses said to the Lord, who am I that you should send me? And the first thing God tells him is that I am with you. So that was the first point last week, and that's what we dealt with, that God is with us. Everybody say God is with us. God never tells you to do anything, and he's not with you as you go to fulfill it. God never tells you to do anything and then abandons you as you go to do it in his by his direction and by his timing. If he tells you to do it, he's going to be with you. You know, some of you kids don't know nothing about it because all y'all do now is stay home and play video games. Your mind's going to become mush because you're not creative. We used to make stuff. Come on. We get a piece of a wheel and a half a skate. And a piece of wood, man, we're going to have fun for months. We used to make stuff, make toys. No toys are us. We was toys are us. And so one of the things we do was play marbles, okay? And you had the little marbles, and then you had the ones that looked like sherbet. Those were the best ones. The cream colored ones with it. And so, and we said, some said, well, what do you even do with marbles? Like we show my granddaughter, I play jacks. She know how to play. So we explained, she said, what you did with that? And we explained how you one pick up one, like Pastor Marcia did when she fell. She's sitting down playing jacks. I heard you. Yeah. And anyway, so we play marbles and you make a circle and you put the marbles in the middle and then you would pluck them, and if they went outside the circle, that's how you won the marbles. Anybody remember anything about that? Okay. Well, I had my bag of marbles. I was a pretty good marbler. That's before I found out that the Bible says marble not. I wasn't saved then. I was marbling because the Bible says marble not. That's a little joke, but it's a true story. A guy, this pastor told me one day, he grew up in Church God of Christ, was in West Virginia, and he said they wasn't allowed to play marbles. And he asked daddy one time, well, why can't we play sick? Because the Bible says marble not. It says marvel not. Not marble not. Anyway. So Paul Reeves decides he don't want to play. He just want to take my marbles. He took all my marbles, and Paul Reeves was a bully, and I went up there. I went up there crying. My sister, my oldest sister, 7 years older than me, we born in the city. That was my second sister, okay, and the third child. And she was always the nicest to me. I was born on her birthday. And she always said, what's wrong? I said, Paul took my Bible. He wouldn't have took my Bible. I would have fought for the word. I just want to let you know. Took my marbles. And she said, well, go get them. I said, he can have them. She said, oh, no, you're going to get your marbles. I said, no, he going to want to fight. She said, well, you're going to have to fight and get your marbles back. Would you look at your neighbor and say, go get your marbles back? So I went down. I said, we're going to have to fight. She said, watch this. Because the devotion's call, I got your back. Okay. And I said, we don't have to fight. She said, it's all right. You can fight him because I got your back. Well, you tell your neighbor, God got your back. And so I asked for my marble. He said, take him. And I went to take him. And he hit me and I hit him back. And before we know it, we rolling on the ground. And I would get on top of him and be hitting him. And then he flipped me over and he started hitting me. But watch it. Every time he got on top of me, my sister was flipping back on me. I get on back. She would flip me back on. My sister would let me know, I got your back. I will not let the devil get the best of you. God said, if you would do what I tell you to do, I got your back. God will flip that thing around. Yes, he will. That no weapon formed against you will prosper. Man, that thing. And she didn't fight. She didn't hit him or nothing. She just made sure I stayed on top. Glory to God. God gonna make sure you stay on top, because you're supposed to be the head and not the tail. You're supposed to be above only and not beneath. So tell somebody, say, I'm gonna be on top. And that's what God tells Moses. I'm with you. I'm with you. Go ahead. I'm with you. And the second thing, second excuse that Moses, when he said, first of all, he said, who am I? The second thing, Moses' second excuse was one of lack of knowledge. I don't know enough. Exodus 3:13-14. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel and I say to them, the God of your father sent me, they're going to say, well, what's his name? And I'm going to say, Jesus. No, that ain't my name. They hadn't wrote that song yet. What's his name? Jesus. No, he didn't know that. He didn't know God's name. He said, they're going to say, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to him, tell them I am that I am. And I got to thinking about that as I was just meditating on that this morning on the plane. I am that I am, because ultimately this is culminated in a revelation of Jesus. God gives him a blank check. I am whatever you need me to be. But Jesus, if you ever study the I ams that Jesus said. I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, I'm the light of the world. Come on, y'all hear me here. It ultimately will be fulfilled when we come to a full revelation of who Jesus is. Then we will know who God is. But Moses is just starting in this walk with God. He's just starting to have fellowship with God. He probably had never talked to God before until this burning bush. I don't know you like that. I don't know you like that. Because the more you know God, the longer you walk with him, the more you trust him. He's got God, I don't know you. He said, just tell him, I am, has sent me to you. God's response basically to Moses was, it's not about what you know or who you are. Y'all ain't hear me here. It's not about what you know or who you are. Simply tell him, I am, has sent me. Watch this. What makes you think you can do that? God told me. I told y'all, I don't know if it was this service, I told y'all when we were down in River Drive and we had to renovate that warehouse, I didn't have any plans. And I wasn't like trying to bypass the city and officials and all that. I didn't even think about it. I didn't know nothing about it. It was just in my head. We had this church, got this empty warehouse, and we made a catty corner. Okay, I took the corner and we put the pulpit over there. So it came down this side. Y'all remember Joyce? And we built that. And so later on, after everything's built, God, brother here, help me put the he helped me put the roof in. Been here last two Sundays. I saw you last Sunday too. Brother back here and he helped me put the drop ceiling in there. And the architect later on and comes and said, who did this? I said, well, me and the guy who just came to church who was on crack, glory to God. Yes, Lord, I thank God for that crackhead. He helped me a lot. He did. Listen, you don't know where help gonna come from. I can't have no crackhead around me. That's the very one who put up all that sheetrock. You don't know who God going to use. Glory to God. We had this guy one time on the some of y'all knew, so I got to share these stories with you. This guy came around one day, and he came and he says, I just stopped by to see you. The Lord sent me. I'm a prophet to the nations. He said, this is the truth. He said, I'm a prophet to the nations. The Lord sent me, and I go to churches, and they allow me to speak, and I prophesy because the Lord sent me to be a prophet to the nations. And I ain't feeling no prophet to the nation thing just off the street. You know, a street prophet to the nations. That ain't how we going to do this. And so he kept on talking. He said, I've done various things. And before I was in ministry, I was a carpenter. I said, ho! God may sent you. I said, you a carpenter? He said, I'm a carpenter. I said, come on back here. You remember Elder Perry? And that back in our kitchen, we had this furnace that was out there. We were using that as a classroom. I said, can you build a wall and build a place around? He said, I sure can. I said, I can't use your prophecy. I don't need a word. But I sure can use a hammer and a nail and some wood. Call you hear me here. You don't know who God going to send. He just got his wires crossed. He thought he was supposed to come bring me a word, and he's supposed to come bring me wood. Just one little word, one little letter off. Everybody say, help is on the way. God says, just tell him, I am have sent me. In Jeremiah 9:23-24, it says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. See, some of you, can I tell you, some of you, you're actually too smart for God to use you. You're actually too smart. You know too much. You've been in too many classes. Watch this. And it's not that you have too many degrees. Your degrees got you rather than you having degrees. Because I highly esteem education. Amen? But so you can't hear God because what the professor told you. God can't show you how to do something because the book said that ain't how you do it. And the book we talk about is not the word of God. Some of you are too smart for God to use you. You're going to have to, see, that's why Paul says, the things that were gained to me, the things I thought made me somebody, those things, I had to count them as dung, D-U-N-G. That means refuse. That means doo-doo is what it really means. I count it as dung, as nothing, so that I can know him, so I can really be used by him, so I can be anointed, because my knowledge can hinder anointing. Oh, come on. I said your knowledge can hinder anointing. And so God says in Jeremiah 9, he said, let not the, verse 23, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches or his money, but let him that glorieth glory in this. Look at this, that he understandeth me and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. God said, what you boast about is that I know the Lord. Oh, come on now. I said, what you got to boast about is that I know the Lord. I feel like telling my stories today. Every now and then I get in my story mode. The stories start blessing people. But I told y'all this land here that we're on, 22, now 30 something acres of land here that we have adjoined here. And even far as you can see and can't see, back in those woods over there and those trees over there and beyond the trees over there is another 5 acres that the Lord gave. But I told y'all that when I came here, I was looking, we started our church and I knew one day we're going to build. I don't know where money comes from, but I had no problem looking. And I got with this particular real estate agent. And I said, well, I'm looking for land. I'm gonna need about 22 acres. Y'all know where I need at least 20 acres. Y'all know where Central Baptist is now, over there, right up the street from at Beltline and River Drive. At one point, I was claiming that land. And when I talked to an architect and I told him my vision, see, again, I'm a city boy. I don't know nothing about this country, this land and stuff. We don't have land up north. You know what I'm saying? And so I didn't know. And I told him my vision, how large our church was and how large it's going to be. And he said, well, this land ain't big enough. He said, you need at least 20 acres. He said, this 5 acres is not good. Now, Central Baptist Church is now on that land. Amen. And they built a beautiful church. And as a matter of fact, when they built that church there, I stopped by one day and just saw the church and gave them $1,000. You know, I said, man, I just like to see people expand in the kingdom of God. Amen. And they tell me they used to call that area, my friend Pastor Book told me, they used to call that area back in the day Black Bottom. Anybody know anything about that? Got a prayer. A couple of y'all know something about that. Glory to God. And so the architect, I want to maybe buy this one. He said, that land is not big enough for you. So I started believing God for 20 acres. And so I told his real estate, I said, I need to get 20 acres. And so he started taking me down off Fairfield Road and Monticello Road and Bluff Road. And the more we would go down there, I just wasn't feeling that in my spirit, as we say. I just wasn't having peace that this is where we were supposed to be. And so I said, no, we need to be up in the St. Andrews, Irmo area. And a man yelled at me. He said, you'll never get land up in that area. There is no land up in that area. And he said, and if you ever find any land in that area, you won't be able to afford it. And I told him, I said, take me back to my car. I said, you know real estate, but I know the voice of God. Are you coming? Are you understanding me here? See, in his wisdom, there's no way you're going to find that much land up there and no way that you, their kind of church, going to be able to afford that kind of land. Are y'all listening to me? But he knew real estate, but I know the voice of God. Can somebody say, I know the voice of God? And so God said, glory not in your expertise and your education and your classes and your degree. He said, but what you ought to glory in, what you ought to be proud about, what ought to get you going, what you ought to be excited about is that you understand the voice of God and that you know God. Can somebody say, I know the Lord? Glory to God. Glory to God. Some of our foreparents, they didn't know much about history. They didn't know much about math. They didn't know about sociology, but they knew the Lord. And they could say, the Lord said, and the Lord told me, glory to God. And you're going to have to get to the place that you rely more on what God tells you than what your natural wisdom tells you. Because if it's going to be supernatural, it got to come from the voice of God. Let me say that again. If it's going to be supernatural, it got to come from the voice of God. Hallelujah. Let him glory in this, that he knoweth me. I am the Lord, which exercise love and kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things do I delight. God said, I delight when you tell folks, I don't know, but the Lord told me to do. How you gonna buy that? I don't know, but the Lord told me I'm gonna buy it. How you gonna get that? I don't know, but the Lord told me it's mine. Are y'all hearing me? Glory to God. Listen, Bishop Jake telling his story one day, and he talked about, you know, he for years he pastored us for the most part a small church and even storefront church, and it grew at, tell me one time, to maybe several hundred people, maybe 1,000 people in a small place. And when the opportunity came to come to Dallas, Texas. And he walked in that building. Some of us would remember Grant. It was a healing advantage. Used to have that building. And he said he didn't have money. He walked in. He said, and the man told him what he wanted for it. He looked around the place. That place has now been torn down so they can build education, children facility and all that. And he walked in there and he said, he asked the man of God who was showing it to him. He said, can you give me a moment? And he said, he stayed in there. He said, and I just had to talk to the Lord. He said, I didn't ask the Lord, how much should I negotiate for? He said, I didn't ask the Lord where the money's coming from. He said, I didn't ask the Lord, can I fill it? I didn't ask the Lord where, because the place is seated 3,000. I didn't ask, he said, I asked the Lord one question, is it mine? Y'all ain't hearing me here. See, because if it's yours, money got to line up. If it's yours, a no will be turned into a yes. If it's yours, people who won't even like you will bless you. If it's yours, folks will let it go and don't even know why they're letting it go. If it's yours, somebody else can have a contract on it. And God said, don't receive the contract. Get out the contract, because this belongs to somebody else. Listen, if God got something for you, it don't matter what people say. It don't matter if you have the resources. If it's yours, it's yours. You got to know it's yours. Glory to God.
Are your dreams and expectations on hold because you're allowing doubt and unbelief to settle in? Don't give up on your possibilities. Dr. Herbert Bailey encourages you. Yes, you can accomplish your goals and fulfill your dreams. Order this powerful message today as a CD-DVD combination. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Yes, You Can.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.